Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley with you here again on the Rediscover Hour, and it is October. Do you like October? I love October. October, I'm a fall guy. I love fall. It's my favorite season. I love the colors and the trees. I love the sweater weather. I love the campfires, the roaring fires. Yeah, just there's so many things about the season that I love. And October got some special personal days in October, as well as it's another month dedicated to Our Lady, right? And in fact, here we are on this weekend, Saturday, celebrating Our Lady of the Rosary, great feast day in the Church, and to thank the Lord for His gift through His Mother of the Rosary, a great devotional that is has changed the course of history in so many different events, in so many different ways, as well as the course of our own personal lives. So, is the Rosary part of your devotion? Is the Rosary part of something that you say on a daily basis? I highly recommend it, and I do think that there is just so many graces that are involved with dedicating ourselves to Our Lady and Our Lord through the Rosary each and every day. If you can spare those, what was it Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, 17 minutes, the perfect amount of time for a prayer. And there's just so many wonderful, wonderful things to glean from the Rosary that the Lord has given us in that. And it's also the first Friday of the month, which means that we are focusing once again on great Catholic parishes. Now, just as a reminder, just if your parish hasn't been featured yet, don't worry. That doesn't mean that your parish is not a great Catholic parish. What we're trying to do is we're trying to share some good ideas that are going on in and around the parishes here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, to foster kind of a best practices understanding, and what are ways that maybe you are intrigued. Maybe you're thinking your parish could get involved in something like this. You could learn more. Maybe the Lord will use this as an opportunity through the power of His Holy Spirit to give you that idea, to take you to a new level of faith and of living out the mission to share the faith with others. And as a matter of fact, that's exactly what we're focusing in on today is, again, that dreaded word, evangelization. It's something that strikes fear in the hearts of many a Catholic, and I'll let you in on a little secret, too, having been a convert myself. It strikes fear in the heart of many a Protestant as well. But it is not a Protestant thing. It's not a Catholic thing. It is a God thing in the sense of we are all called those of us who follow Christ, we are all called to share that faith with others, to share His good news, to preach the gospel, the good news, and to through words and deeds. And we are going to be joined by Father Robert Graebner and April Bailey, who are from the Parish of Holy Trinity, St. Augustine in South St. Paul, and they're going to be sharing with us a little bit about their door-to-door ministry, what they do, and some of the experiences they've had, some of the fruit that they've seen. And then later on in the program, we're going to be hearing from Beth Sheely, who is involved with St. Paul Street Evangelization, which is also active in and around here at various parishes in our own archdiocese. Is evangelization something that scares you? Is it something that thinks, oh, I would never do something like that, knocking on a stranger's door and to talk about God stuff? Well, stay tuned, because I think this program is going to give you some newfound faith and confidence. Not just in your own abilities, but quite frankly, in the power of the Holy Spirit and the way that the Holy Spirit leads and guides, protects, and consoles those who are involved in living out the faith. So that's what's in store for us. So at the top of the show, especially as we are celebrating Our Lady this month in a particular way, let us pause and commit the show to the Lord through her intercession. As together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's what's in store for us. Evangelization, sharing the faith with others. It's an exciting topic, folks, so stay with us. Rediscover.
There are a few things that can so quickly and affordably change the look and feel of your home or office as new floor coverings. I'm Tom Michaud of TPM Flooring. For more than 7 years, we've helped Relevant Radio listeners with the latest products that transform your living spaces using the highest quality products available to make your dreams a reality. Over the years, we have established a reputation for offering products and services at great prices with excellent customer service. We have a full showroom in Burnsville, or we can come to your home or office to help make your choices easy. I hope as you decide to change and improve your floors with wood, laminate, tile, or carpet, that you'd call us at TPM Flooring. Past clients have praised our attention to detail and dedication to work. We aim not only to improve your home's aesthetics, but also its function. TPM Flooring is available at 952-746-5157 or tpmflooring.com. Good pricing, installation, and attention to detail. We even vacuum our way out the door. And I just showed up for my own life. And I'm standing here taking it in, and it sure looks bright.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Great to be with you, and today we are talking about evangelization. Joining me now here in the studio is Father Robert Graebner, who's the Associate Pastor at Holy Trinity St. Augustine in South St. Paul, as well as April Bailey, who's a native Twin Cityan growing up in Eagan, but is now a parishioner, a member at Holy Trinity and St. Augustine. They've both been involved with Holy Trinity's door-to-door ministry, which is what we're going to get into in a moment, but welcome to the program. Great to have you here.
Hi, thanks.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, very good. So, Father, why don't we start with you? Now, this whole concept of door-to-door ministry, where did it come from in terms of Holy Trinity? I mean, how did you decide this is something that we're going to do and we're going to try it? And then how did it develop from that those initial thoughts into active practice?
Well, appropriately enough, it had its genesis in the Rediscover program.
Ah, fantastic.
Yeah. when Matthew Kelly was working with the Archdiocese and got the Rediscover book clubs going, we had a pretty high number of people in our parish that signed on to the book study. And at that time, we had a Catholic activism endeavor going in the parish, hoping that with there being as many Catholics as there are in the parish, or in the United States, that we could stop the culture of death in its tracks if we all got together.
Hmm.
Well, as time went on, though, there being some difficulties in everybody who was Catholic by way of their baptism not necessarily participating as much, got involved in the marriage amendment battle, working pretty hard in that. And then, as we remember, in November of 2012, we pretty much had our heads handed to us in that regard. Mm-hmm. And the spirit of the world seemed to predominate in the elections. And we found that rather disheartening. And a couple of months after that, from a rather unexpected source, I was given Ralph Martin's book, Will Many Be Saved?
Mm.
So I'm still reeling from what was going on in the election, and then I'm handed this book, Dr. Martin pretty much pulverizes the notion of salvation universalism, the whole idea that everybody is ultimately saved, or at least if you're not Adolf Hitler or Pol Pot or someone like that, that you're ultimately going to be going to heaven. And so the urgency of evangelization is there. You know, Our Lady, according to one of the visionaries of Fatima, said, souls are falling into hell like snowflakes. And if we take a look at the great missionary saints, their concern was people not making it into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, I felt I really need to get out there and do what I can in order to reach the unchurched. You know, some of the programs that I'd seen, and very good programs, are structured for the purpose of getting people who are in parishes already active, to get more active.
Mm.
But with the growing number of people who aren't even baptized, who never darken the door of a church, not baptized or anything, It became clear to me that if we were out there going door to door, as difficult as that could be sometimes, the person knocking at the door, that might be the only face of Jesus Christ that anyone would see who answers that door. So we know that God works through everybody, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, so on. And so for that reason, it became clear that we really had to get out there and reach the unchurched, and we saw that the best way of doing that was to get into the door-to-door apostolate.
Okay, so frame it up for me in terms of the people who are present. So was this kind of a unanimous feel amongst all the people who were part of the group, or was there a lot of kind of pushback, if you will, maybe a little timidity going on there as well?
Oh, gosh. August of 2013, we had our first meeting to get this new evangelization program going. And I knew that people would be skittish about actually going door to door. I mean, it's necessarily outside of one's comfort zone.
Right.
So August of 2013, we had our first meeting, and April was present at that. And sometime later, March of the following year, I swallowed hard, prayed harder, and said, "Okay, now I've got to ask the question." Said, "Okay, you folks, you've been with this group for a while, and as we talked about earlier, we were going to get to the point where we were going to do door-to-door apostolate, and how many of you want to do this?" And we had everything from people who were, "Oh, I could never do that in a million years," to becoming some of the best door-to-door evangelists there are, to people like, there's one lady, she was there from day one. I thought I read in her expression, says, "What do you mean we're not going to start tomorrow morning? Let's get this show on the road," you know, and everything in between.
Right, right. And so I was just going to jump in just real quickly, April. So you were there at that first meeting. What's going through your mind in all of this? Where are you in that spectrum?
I have always been very excited about evangelization. I just really want to bring souls into the church for Christ, and I thought the whole thing was a wonderful opportunity and what we should be doing.
Had you ever done anything like this before, going door to door?
No, I had never been so structured about it, but I definitely went to a Protestant Bible study and spouted my Catholic thoughts.
Gee, okay, all right, yep. Okay, and then Father, so as things got shaped around that, what are there specifically, as you're starting to build up to that first time, what did you do, some sort of training? What did you say in order to, you know, once people answer the door, do you have a spiel that you're supposed to give, or how is it structured that way?
Well, the Lord put in our path people who had already done door-to-door evangelization, including one couple who had been Jehovah's Witnesses for 30 years, and the male of the couple had been an elder in the Jehovah's Witnesses, so these people knew the nuts and bolts of going door to door.
Yeah.
So we picked his brain, their brains, as far as, okay, what can you tell us? What kind of help can you give us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had eventually converted through St. Agnes and became Legion of Mary members, and so they were able to bring their expertise of the nuts and bolts of door to door to the Catholic faith and enjoyed much more success. And so we do have a kind of a spiel, what we do. We knock on the door. We have what's called a lead and a scribe. The lead is the person who actually knocks on the door, and we knock. Don't use the doorbell because, as we were told by one of our first trainers, salespeople ring the doorbell, neighbors knock. So we knock on the door and pray two Hail Marys silently and until someone comes to the door. If at the end of two Hail Marys someone doesn't answer the door, we say two more, and then we hang a blue bifold on the door that's got some information on it. The front of it says in great big letters, "You are loved," and there's a little card of Jesus of Divine Mercy on it. If someone does come to the door, which is about a third of the time, give or take, on the average, that people will answer the door on a given shift. And when they come to the door, we'll say something like, "Hi, I'm John Smith. I'm from Holy Trinity Catholic Church, thereby identifying ourselves as Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for you. And I don't give them a chance to say no. I just hand them that bifold and just say, this is for you. And I wanted to let you know that you are loved by this man, Jesus Christ. And there is this incredible happiness that comes with a relationship with him in his church, no matter what life happens to dump on your front porch. And then we go from there. I'll identify the second person. The lead will say, I'm so-and-so, and then this is so-and-so. The person is scribe who actually does the note-taking. And at that point, we'll ask them, are you a member of a worshiping community? Because that can take anything from, you know, you're a member of the local Catholic Church to you're a member of a Buddhist temple somewhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we ask them. And we do find it's necessary to ask them because once in a while you get somebody, oh, I'm the DRE from the neighboring parish or somebody mm-hmm. like that. If there's any openness, though, and if it's not somebody like that, we'll pull out a little Catholic Answers track called Pillar of Fire, Pillar of Truth. And if there's any interest at all, we'll say, this is that entire 800-page catechism down into about 30 pages. I'd like to have you take a look at this, and we'll stop back.
Hmm.
And we'll endeavor to get the information from them, contact information, an email address, phone number, that sort of thing, and say, well, we'd like to stop back and after you've had a chance to take a look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the responses are all over the board.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So I do want to add that when we get to the doors, we like to mention, we're your neighbors. We're out meeting our neighbors.
Hmm.
Because oftentimes we're expecting to evangelize, but we'll run into someone who's, you know, a member of the parish or even a fallen away Catholic. And so it's just a brilliant thing that we're doing, meeting our neighbors and remembering, oh, these are all souls in need of something. So we're not always there to evangelize. Sometimes it turns out someone needs a prayer request really badly, or they need, you know, they're homebound and need help getting to Mass. So it's very exciting that we're able to help people in all these capacities just by going door to door.
Right. Which, I mean, in a sense, does share good news in a particular way as well. It might not be particularly for the unchurched, as Father, you were pointing out at the beginning, but certainly sharing the life and light of Christ. So how did you choose where to go? Was it within the parish geographical boundaries? Was it just right outside the parish door, so to speak? Or did you map it out beforehand or kind of strategize, we're going to go this way, we're going to go this way?
Well, we actually did start right outside the door of the parish, and we kind of worked our way from there. The parish boundaries is what we have got for our boundaries as far as our territory, and that way it's logical to have them come to our parish where we know what the teaching and the preaching and the programs are like, rather than saying, just go to your local Catholic church. So we do try to stay within the parish boundaries, and we have a map. Actually, we have somebody in our new evangelization work who takes care of the map, and also records the information that we get when we go door to door, and then sends that out after he's processed all of that.
Okay, so coming back to what you were saying, so you leave some information and you offer to follow up with them. You express your desire to follow up with them. You see if you can get some sort of contact info, as you said. And you said, Father, you left us that responses are all over the board. So I'm curious to know if either one of you have stories about, how it goes. I mean, I would imagine, as you said, with responses all over the board, give us some idea from what a really good response is to maybe not one that you were hoping for.
Well, the best response that we had, which pointed out to me that this is like Eucharistic adoration chapels. It's necessarily a lay-driven apostolate, not something driven by the clergy.
Okay.
A couple of our evangelists were out one day, and there was a couple of, well, I wouldn't say rules, but guidelines. We say, if there's a dog there, you have to say, okay, is this dog going to be a problem? Do they represent any kind of a threat?
Mm.
So if there's a dog, maybe you want to just pass by. Mm. Or if they're not near the front door, like in the backyard, do you transgress that boundary? Mm. And I leave that as a judgment call. Well, there was both a dog and a backyard situation, and these evangelists decided to disregard both of those. And as a result, from one door-to-door visit, we had five baptisms and the and two confirmations out of that one visit, just one.
Wow.
So that would be absolutely at the top.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad the Lord leads and guides. April, what about you?
You know, I'd say some of the best are when you hand that bifold to people and you absolutely see the surprise and then joy of, oh, I am loved. Because I think people expect you to be selling something or, you know, asking something from them, but actually you're out there to give them something. Another wonderful thing is when someone is very lonely and they're really excited to have someone who actually is interested in their soul and wants to talk to them. We did have one man. Now, again, with rule breaking, you're not supposed to go into the house ever. But one day I was out with a fellow evangelist, Maria, and she knocked on the door and someone yelled, "Come in!" Mm. And she started to go in. I go, "Oh, I don't think we're supposed to do that." She goes, "No, we go in." Walked right in. And it was an elderly man who couldn't walk.
Mm.
And we were able to talk to him for a while and really establish a connection. And he said, "You know, I was expecting you to be asking for money. I would have given you some, but you're really asking me to give my entire life to God."
Mm.
You know, I'll think about it.
Mm.
And that was really stunning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Well, at least you recognized exactly what you were talking about, that it wasn't just thank you and have a nice day, but there's something riding on this, and it takes some investment. Yeah. Wow. Okay, dare I ask, because I know, I mean, we're doing this whole show today because we know that this is a command of the Lord to share the good news, and we know that we all need to be involved in this in some way, in some degree, of living out and speaking the gospel to those around us. But we're all going to encounter opposition at every level, and so what are some of the stories that maybe didn't go as you might have hoped?
Let me preface this one by just indicating that that going door to door is definitely outside of one's comfort level.
Right.
Just this past Saturday, we hit 3,000 times we've knocked on doors.
Wow.
In fact, 3,007 to be exact. Mm. And it's still outside my comfort zone. But the thing is, it's, going to confessions outside your comfort zone, too, but look at the benefits.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I found that in sharing faith, this was totally a surprise to me. You know, I've been a priest for 17 years.
Mm.
And but my faith was actually deepened, enlivened, kind of given a fourth dimension by doing this. There's just really something about going out there. I mean, if your faith is lacking or you're languishing, you want to get in door to door. It really is a shot in the arm.
I want you to tell the story, but I just want to say what a great thing that is, that I think a lot of people are afraid that if I start this conversation, they're going to ask me a question that I'm not going to know the answer to. Well, but that's not the reason not to do it. Is what I'm hearing you say.
Well, true, and the other thing too is people are under the impression that you have to be another Carl Keating or Scott Hahn or somebody
right,
out there.
Right.
You have to be some top rank apologist. It's unusual. I mean, maybe unusual is too strong a word, but we do not run across all that many people we have in conversations with who challenge us with this, that, and the other thing. It does happen, and we train. We have a training meeting every month where we train for an hour on basically apologetics these days. But most of the time, that's really not necessary. If you love Jesus Christ, you're practicing your faith, you've got a daily prayer life, hopefully the daily rosary, I try to push that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry. You're going to do fine out there.
Mm.
And when negative situations do happen, when you have that first door, your first time out there, and you have that first time that person opens the door, scowls at you and says, "I'm not interested," closes the door, and the apocalypse doesn't ensue, you know, you go, "Wow, I can handle that," you know. But at any rate, sometimes it's things can get less than pleasant. I remember a couple of years ago, there was a door we knocked on, and the gentleman who came out was, well, maybe gentleman is a euphemism.
Okay.
At any rate, "What do you want? Oh, you're just out here casing places to break in. That's what you're out here for. And I'm going to call the cops on you." This guy was definitely over the top. He was having the proverbial bad hair day on steroids, I think.
Mm.
But at any rate, he was just extremely in your face. And so, okay, fine. So we moved on. But there was even a little bit of humor in how the thing played out, because he did end up calling the police on us.
Wow.
And it was about a half hour later that South St. Paul's Finest pulled up. And what was ironic about it, see, I'm a retired police officer.
Okay.
And the officer came up to me, and it was, perhaps she's listening now, is Officer Bishop of the South St. Paul PD.
Mm.
I'm a retired cop. You know, she's a cop, and she's got a name Bishop, and she asked me.
A lot of
me,
connections going on here.
Oh, it's great. The humor was wonderful.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm used to when I was a police officer, you always check identification, do a warrant check, you check this person out.
Right.
But all she did was say, "Are you selling anything?" Because there's an ordinance that you have to have a license in South St. Paul.
Right.
"No, we're not." "Goodbye." Gone.
Wow.
I saw her later on, about a year later, and we had a really nice conversation about that. But I thought that was pretty humorous.
Oh, that's great. What a great story. Yeah. How about you, April? Something that didn't go as quite as you might have hoped.
Well, you know, it's not at all what I expected it to be. I kind of thought it was going to be I'm going to go to doors and get into arguments about why this is the way it is or that is the way it is. And actually, I haven't had a single person talk to me about a theological point at all.
Wow.
It's about the personal issues. Just you get there and people are like, I don't know about the time. So people kind of just don't want to put in the effort to be Catholic if that's what's holding them back. At least those are all the negatives I've found. But otherwise, it's really just people wanting to make connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do say, it has been said that in the midst of this society in which things like social media and that sort of thing, that the most connected we have ever been, but at the same time, we are the most isolated we have ever been. And loneliness is still a huge issue in the country today.
Yeah, so I did go to one door where someone said, "You know, I don't really believe in any of this religious stuff, but I might want to go to, you know, your fall festival at the end of the month,"
nice,
that you mentioned,
okay,
"or join the Bible group," because he wanted to be with people.
Yeah.
So it's nice that you can offer them a personal entry, because however you get them in, mm-hmm, Christ can do the work from there.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, it's very encouraging. So as our time is winding down here, I just wanted to ask you both kind of for suggestions, if there's listeners who are listening who think, "Yeah, I think maybe we should do something like this in our parish." What would you encourage them to do? How would you encourage them to proceed? Father, how about you?
Well, one of the things a person can do is, of course, call the Archdiocese. Crystal Crocker, the head of the Office of Evangelization for the Archdiocese, keeps tabs on a number of different venues for door-to-door or for evangelization, not just door-to-door. A little later on, you'll be talking about St. Paul Street Evangelization. They do things a little bit differently. So that would be a good resource. Certainly, if anybody wants to talk about door to door, I'd be very happy to give them the information that I have, and just let them know their experiences. I'm no guru of evangelization by any means, but I could just give them the information and some of the information and wisdom that hopefully we've been given courtesy of the Holy Spirit over the years.
That's wonderful. How about you, April? Ideas?
Well, we have gotten evangelization down to almost a business model, and it works really well for us, but you don't have to do it that way. Of course, you should always just be talking to all of your friends, your family, the people you know about Christ, just wearing him on your sleeve at all times so they know where you stand and can talk to you about him, and then you're a great evangelization witness out in the world. But if you want to get into the nitty-gritty going out and knocking door to door, you could always join our group, or I guess if you get enough people, start
mm-hmm.
your own.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Well, I thank you both so much for being on air on the Rediscover Hour with us this morning, talking about your door-to-door ministry. And just before you go, Father, may I ask you to give an on-air blessing to all of our listeners?
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Through the powerful intercession of Our Lady, Star of the New Evangelization, may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Robert Gravener. April Bailey, thank you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour this morning.
Thanks.
Now, so we are going to come back right after this, and we are going to talk with Beth Sheely, who is involved with St. Paul Street Evangelization, for another model of how to get out there and share the good news.
Rediscover.
On Friday, October 13th, the whole world will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. In honor of this important anniversary, the Archdiocesan Rosary Procession Committee is hosting a centennial celebration, beginning with Mass at 5:15 p.m. On that day, Archbishop Bernard Hebda will consecrate the Archdiocese to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. He invites the faithful to join in this special evening and rosary procession from our state capital. Families from the Archdiocese will gather at the Capitol beginning at 6:30 p.m. At 7, Archbishop Hebda will lead a candlelight procession back to the cathedral. You can participate as we pray for peace in our families, in our country, and in the world. Even if you're unable to attend, you can still participate by praying an entrustment prayer and the rosary that night from your home. Please bring your family to the Cathedral of St. Paul for Mass at 5:15 and the candlelight procession from the state capitol with Archbishop Bernard Hebda at 7. The event is open to all. Visit FatimaOnline.org for details and join the faithful on Friday, October 13th in St. Paul.
Peace is flowing like a river, flowing out of you and me.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you, along with Susanna Boley, our producer, and Paul Sadek, our technical producer. Talking about evangelization today, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others, and doing so out on the street. And so joining me now on the phone is Beth Sheely, who's the Associate Director of Evangelization Teams with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Been involved with St. Paul Street Evangelization for quite a time now. A volunteer at the Newman Catholic Center, a very diverse inner city university, where she joins students for street evangelization on campus as well. Beth, welcome to the program.
Well, hello. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. And we are talking about just sharing the good news of Jesus Christ door to door. We just had a couple of guests on who were talking about their experience at one of our parishes here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. But why don't you start by giving us just an understanding of what is St. Paul Street Evangelization?
Well, St. Paul Street Evangelization, it's a grassroots, nonprofit Catholic apostolate, and we're dedicated to responding to the mandate of Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to all nations. We do that by taking our Catholic faith to the street. So our mission, I would say, is to train, equip, and mobilize ordinary Catholics to do that extraordinary work of evangelization. And the ultimate goal, of course, is to save souls.
Right, certainly. But is it different than door-to-door ministry? Is that right?
Well, yes. Door-to-door ministry, you go to them, right? You know
right.
who they are. You could go back later. Quite often it's you're inviting them to a parish thing, so you're going through your parish boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
With St. Paul Street Evangelization, when we set up a station on a street corner, people come to us. you know, and we quite often, we will never see them again. If we're there in the same place over and over week after week, then we do get some, you know, repeat customers. So a lot of times you're going to have this short 2-minute conversation with somebody and that will be it. You know, so that's a little bit different. And, you know, we set our things out and people come up and ask us questions. We have a sign that says, you know, this is a prayer station, or if you have any questions, come and ask. Or sometimes we'll have a priest come out with us and then it'll be an ask a priest sign that we have out there and people can come and talk to the priest.
Okay, so this isn't necessarily, or are you actually preaching on the street corner? Or are you waiting until people, are you inviting people into a conversation or both?
Well, we don't have any bullhorns.
Okay.
There's no bullhorns involved.
Okay.
There's no soapbox.
Good to know.
No bullhorns.
Right. No clapboards either. The end of the world is nigh or anything like that.
No, nothing like that.
All right.
Our sign just says, you know, prayer station or Catholic faith. Do you want to know more about truth? Do you need prayer? Things like that. But so we set up quite often. We will set a little table out there if that's okay with the city, or otherwise we use our mobile evangelization unit, which is a wagon. And inside the wagon, we'll have rosaries and miraculous medals, some brochures and things. And we just stand and we talk to people as they walk by. We offer them something free to start a conversation. Would you like a free rosary? You know, and that starts the conversation. And then we go from there. We really are dependent on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is the evangelizer, right? And we're just trying to be instruments there and present the gospel message to those that walk by.
Right. Okay. So going back to what you said about training, equipping, and mobilizing, so I'm just curious, what does that look like? What does the training look like that you offer for people to get ready to do something like this?
Well, everyone's an evangelist, but not everyone knows how. And so they might get a little bit, they might lack the confidence. So we have a very simple basic evangelization training that we do. We'll go out to a parish for about a day. You know, we'll do it all day Saturday. And we'll just go through some of the real basic things that are involved in evangelization. How to tell your story. Because the world listens to witnesses more than teachers, right? And if they listen to teachers, it's because they are witnesses. That's what Paul the Sixth told us. So we tell them how to tell their story. And we teach them the basic gospel message, the kerygma. You know, what is the gospel message that we want people to understand? And we go through that. We do some little practices, a little bit about etiquette on the street. You know, you don't bully people and things like that. So it's a beautiful course that gives you everything you need to get out there on the street. And quite often we'll have a live lab afterwards, and we'll go actually take the class right to the street corner afterwards, and we'll talk to people. And it's always amazing. It's so much easier than people think. People have this imagination that this is this really difficult thing. But I think it was Mother Teresa, but maybe I'm wrong. Someone said that God reaches souls one soul at a time, right? And every soul counts. So you're not preaching to the masses. You're talking to a person, trying to introduce them to the person, Jesus Christ.
Sure, absolutely. So if I may, I'm going to ask you to walk us through a presentation of the kerygma as you would do it as part of a St. Paul Street Evangelization team. So somebody comes up and says, well, I've always been curious, what's the big deal about Jesus or something like that? How would you respond? What is the way in which you present the kerygma?
Well, we have a 4-step model when we're on the street and when we're evangelizing. So it's listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. So our first thing we do is listen to a person to see where they are. Are they a fallen away Catholic? Are they one of the nuns who believe in nothing, right? N-O-N-E-S, nuns.
Right, right, not N-U-N.
Are they angry? Are they angry at the Catholic Church? Mm. You know, so you kind of have to find where they are first. Before you go into a whole proclamation, because it kind of depends on where they are, right?
Sure.
And so it's listen and then befriend them. We can always find some common ground with everybody, right? So you find some common ground and you keep the discussion going. And then the proclamation that we have a basic 5-step proclamation, which is the plan, the bad news, the good news, the invitation, and the gift. That's why I break it down. So
okay.
We can just go through it. And it's like,
yeah.
So the plan, God loves you. You know, he created you out of love to be in relationship with him. He has a plan for your life, a plan for goodness, not woe, right? But the bad news is that due to sin, we're separated from God. And, of course, the consequence of sin is death. And you can talk about that without making it too judgmental. It's like we all fall short. We're selfish. We're lazy, you know, things like that. And people are usually nodding their head going, yeah, I do fall short, right?
Right.
So the good news is that God's son Jesus became man, atoned for our sins by dying on the cross, and rose from the dead for our salvation. And people usually know that. It's like you look at the crucifix. That's what Jesus did for us. And some people like to stop there. Yeah, Jesus died for us. I'm done. But we have to remember that there's more, all right? That death on the cross, that crucifix, is an invitation. So you have to push a little bit farther. Do you say, well, how would you respond to that offer? How do we respond to that offer of salvation? You see Christ on the cross, dying. He died for your sins. What do you want to say? And we hope you say yes.
Mm.
You say yes, you put your faith in Jesus. You repent of your sins. You're baptized. You become a disciple. But Jesus doesn't leave us orphans. You know, he established the Catholic Church to teach with his authority, empower us by his Holy Spirit, and restore us to salvation through the sacraments whenever we do fall. So that's the basic gospel message, and you make it less of a speech and more of a discussion when you're on the street.
Right, right. So I'm interested in, we had some stories from our last guest too, and I'm wondering if you have any stories on the tip of your tongue that you might be willing to share about some of the people that you've encountered, and particularly what some of the fruit that was born from St. Paul Street Evangelization and your participation in it.
Well, there are so many stories, and they do. It's beautiful to see God working in people, in different people's hearts. I know I was talking to one person, and he didn't like the rosary because it had the crucifix. It's like, why do you got the dead Jesus? I don't like that dead Jesus, you know. And so this becomes an invitation for a discussion, you know. So I talk about the crucifix, and I say, you know, the crucifix is actually an image of love. And sometimes I'd even start with this, especially with young people. I'll say, so what do you think love looks like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they'll say all these different things. I say, well, how about this? And I'll show them the crucifix. You know, the crucifix shows us what unconditional love is. Everyone that knows about love knows that love is sacrifice. You know, Jesus gave everything so that we could be with him forever. And then I kind of bring in the kerygma, you know, we've fallen from grace. He had a plan for us to live forever, and we've fallen from grace. And he climbed up on this cross, Patrick, and he said, Patrick, I love you so much. I want to restore your relationship with the Father. Patrick, it's because I love you that I am pouring out every drop of blood. I want you to be with me forever in heaven. This is my invitation to you. And so I tell people that don't like like this gentleman who didn't like the dead Jesus, I said, so whenever I look at that cross, whenever I look at that crucifix, I know that Jesus loves me. Even if I don't feel it today, I know he loves me because he poured out every drop of blood for me. So that was one of the ones, just talking that gentleman through why the dead Jesus, you know. And there's other ones. A lot of them are invitations to prayer. We had one fella come out by us, and he had a holy card he had gotten from the local church. And he said, he was really distraught. He comes out, is this a good card to pray for someone that's in a troubled pregnancy? And we're like, well, yeah. You know, we're kind of calming him down, looking at this card he had and talking with him. And he said, you know what? Why don't we just pray right now for this person?
Yeah.
And so we prayed for the person, the young girl, and what was going on. And he didn't really share too much about what the details were. And we were thinking it was probably an abortion situation, but it wasn't at all. Because less than just a couple weeks later, he actually sent an email to the local parish where we were from, thanking us for being there, saying the baby was born just fine, and just going on and on about that. It was so good that we prayed, and it helped him so much to pray with him there, you know, and everything. So that was kind of an interesting thing to get that feedback, because like I said, on the street, many people just, you know, walk right past.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, that's another good story.
Yeah, it is. So my guest is Beth Shealy with St. Paul Street Evangelization. And I'm just wondering, what are the size of the teams that you send out on these to set up the station on the street corner?
Well, we have over 300 teams right now. First, almost all of our first teams were individuals that said, yes, I want to do this. And they'd start a team and they'd gather some of their friends or some of their people from their church or whoever, their prayer group, their Bible study, their women's group or whatever, and they'd come together and go out and evangelize. You can have anywhere from two to whatever, however big you want to have on a team, but you have to have at least two people. You can't go out by yourself.
Okay.
So most of the teams, they'll have a pretty decent sized team, maybe, you know, 8 to 12 on a team, but not everyone comes every time. So when you're actually out there, you usually get about, you know, four to eight would be out at a time. And if it's a big festival, then you want more evangelists. If it's just, you know, Wednesday at the corner of 4th and Main, maybe three or four. That's really all you need, because you don't want to be too overbearing, right? And if you get too many, sometimes you just split up across a couple of different corners. But yeah, it's anywhere from, you know, 2 to 8 or 10, but even more if it's a festival.
I like that you mentioned the overbearing aspect. I'm just picturing in my mind's eye a table with 12 evangelists around it and one solitary soul meekly walking by.
Oh, yeah, that happened. That happened when we were at the Newman Center. We were down to this a very narrow hallway, and all the college evangelists were there, and we were lining it up, and it was like a gauntlet, you know? And I was kind of at the end, and so people would go all the way through. Do you want a rosary? Do you want a rosary? Do you want a rosary? Students are coming through. And they get to the end. Anyone that got to the end without a rosary, I would talk to. I'm like, really? You got through that whole thing without a rosary? How did you do that? And, you know, they're like, man, what is going on? And so sometimes it was that I was the one they ended up actually speaking with after going through everything. So it's really a fun thing, and it works out great. And the other thing to remember is, as an evangelist, you grow in your skills as you go. You know, the first times you're out there, you know, you're just trying to get used to the simple thing of just saying hello to a stranger and talking about Jesus. You know, for some people, they aren't used to that. So maybe that's all you do the first couple times. You just talk about how much Jesus loves you. You give out a beautiful card that has the gospel message on it, or you give out a rosary, tell them to have a good day. And you just do that for a while, and you get used to that. And then you get to be a little bolder, you know, ask, well, what's your faith life? What is your faith tradition? And are you Catholic? Or, you know, you kind of go like that. A lot of the times we meet Catholics that aren't going to church anymore, fallen away Catholics.
Right.
They wouldn't call themselves falling away. They just think they're Catholic and they just don't need to go to church all the time. They go to church, you know, when they need to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different ways that I try to talk to them particularly. One of the methods that we use, we have this thing called one good reason. Can I give you one good reason for whatever they are, whether it's one good reason to be Catholic, one good reason to go to church on Sunday, one good reason to have Jesus in your life, one good reason to believe in God, you know, whatever it is. And people are receptive to that. They'll listen to one good reason. And each evangelist kind of develops their own good reasons for these different things as they go. But one of the things we say is one good reason to go to church on Sunday. Well, if my husband only spend an hour a week with me, or wouldn't even spend an hour a week with me, would I say that he loves me?
Mm.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that he loves me. Well, if you won't even spend an hour a week with God, can you say that you love him?
Mm.
You know, it's kind of leaving that question out there. And they're like, a lot of the kids, I talk to a lot of young people, they're like, that's a good point. That's a good point. And then sometimes they come with, oh, but I can love God anywhere. I can God on the street in the sunset. And I said, well, yeah, but I mean, think about your mom. When your mom makes Sunday dinner, she has it all there ready for you. And you call her up and say, Mom, I'm not coming. I'm just going to send you a text. You know, how does that make her feel?
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to bring it to the relationship level, not a rule. Are you breaking a rule by not going to Sunday dinner with your mom? Or are you hurting your mom, who you love? And so that's some of the ways we get the dialogue going.
That's fascinating. Wow. Just in our remaining minute or so here, Beth, I'm just interested if people are willing or wanting to find out more, where can they go and what can they, where can they learn more about what St. Paul Street Evangelization is all about?
Well, the best place to go is streetevangelization.com, and that's our main website. And from there, you can find out, you can get involved, you can find out about starting a team, you can see what teams are in your area. There may be a team real close by.
Mm.
In this case, you can just go and join up with that team a few times or talk to them. So streetevangelization.com, that's the best place to start.
Right, great. And I know that there is there are teams being formed even now here in the Archdiocese. And in fact, we had a St. Paul Street Evangelization luncheon just a couple days ago, and it filled to capacity. There's some great stuff going on here in the Archdiocese as well. And excuse me, people can go to rediscover-faith.org and find out a little bit more about that. They can also sign up for evangelization updates from the Office of Evangelization here in the Archdiocese to learn more about that, which we'll talk about after the next break. But Beth, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for all that you do as part of St. Paul Street Evangelization. May God bless you richly.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right.
God bless you too.
Thank you very much. We're going to take our final break right now, and when we come back, we're going to have opportunities for you to live out your faith, to share the faith with others, different ways that you can get involved. Rediscover.
Minnesota Twins great Dan Gladden and the president of Coordinated Business Systems, Jim Arricchio.
Dan, do you know why so many organizations choose Coordinated?
Well, there's Kyocera MFPs, Kyocera Color Systems, and there's Kyocera Network Printers.
And just as important, it's Coordinated's customers first always.
I think Coordinated customer Chong Nang Tao, president of Life Financial Partners, agrees. He says it's not just the machine, it's, as Jim put it, Coordinated's customers first always that helps us be more efficient at what we do.
That's Coordinated's customers first always.
Boy, Jim, you're like a major league ball player. A commitment to always perform at the highest level.
Me? A major league ball player? I have a bat, a glove, you know. And what do you think about this physique?
Well, I can tell you about the physique, but I'm going to get back to you on that.
Kyocera, Kyocera, and customers first always. Visit coordinated.com. Kyocera and Coordinated Business Systems.
Customers first.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. And, you know, I was just mentioning how to sign up for evangelization updates. Paul, I think you have some information on that.
Well, yeah. I do somewhere here.
Yeah.
Be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese. You can proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message proclaiming to 84576. Or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
Have you experienced the death of a baby before or after birth? Would you like to commemorate and honor your child's life in a beautiful healing mass? Whether your loss is recent or was years ago, you are warmly invited to attend the annual Mass of God's Children at Nativity of Our Lord at Stanford and Prior Avenues in St. Paul on Tuesday, October 10th at 7 p.m. Grandparents, siblings, other family members, and friends are welcome. Please come early to write your baby's name in the Book of Life. For more information, call 651-698-5554.
Join the men of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis for the annual Men's Pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine, La Crosse, Wisconsin, with Bishop Cousins, Saturday, October 14th. Cost $20. That includes transportation and lunch. Buses depart from the Chancery promptly at 8 a.m. You leave your car parked at the Chancery for the day. The bus gets back at 8 p.m. To find out more, visit the Catholic Watchman Facebook page or contact Enzo Randazzo at randazzov@archspm.org.
Do you work in healthcare? As a healthcare professional, you may be faced with many challenges. Take some time away and revitalize. You're invited to a retreat designed especially for healthcare professionals, being held at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo, October 13th through 15th. Keynote speaker will be Sister Mary Rachel Nurburn, a religious sister of mercy and an MD of internal medicine. She'll speak about how our Catholic faith informs both our understanding of pain as well as our vocation in healthcare. The retreat is sponsored by Curatio, To register, go to CoratioApostolate.com or email CoratioEvent@gmail.com.
Saturday, October 21st, Mary's Meals invites you to join them at the Cathedral at 6:30 for a lasagna dinner fundraiser hosted by the Cathedral of St. Paul Knights of Columbus and Ladies Auxiliary Council. Mary's Meals is an international organization that provides one meal per day in a child's place of education for over 1.2 million children in over 14 countries. Keynote speaker Ellen Miller, Mary's Meals volunteer coordinator on It's So Easy to Do Something. Cost $15 for adults, $10 for children. Go to kfc14752cathedral.org or call Deborah and Wayne Waldera at 651-772-6935.
And we're going to be talking to them next week. But before that, know that the relics of St. Charbel are coming to St. Marin's in Northeast Minneapolis this Sunday and Monday, October 8th and 9th. Come and pray with our Maronite brothers and sisters and receive graces that God bestows upon those who ask the intercession of this great saint. Veneration of the relics will take place Sunday from 11:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. More details at stmarin.com. And next week on the Rediscover Hour, we are going to hear from Deborah and Wayne Waldera, who will speak about Mary's Meals, a simple solution to world hunger. We'll also talk with Associate Pastor of Our Lady of Grace in Edina, Father Neil Baker, who will share about Our Lady of Grace Senior High School in Ghana, West Africa. The school's motto is knowledge, morality, and service. What a great motto. Thanks for joining us this week on the Rediscover Hour, folks. It's great, and I encourage you to get out there and share the faith with others. Go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.